I'm Richard Brand. I'm a partner at White & Case. It's a law firm based in New York City. I'm a member of the mergers and acquisitions practice and the global head of our shareholder engagement practice. This is the ship owners panel, and we are the last thing standing between all of you and lunch.
So we'll be quick.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Capital Link, Nick Bornosis in particular for putting these conferences together. So really, you do a great job, Nick. I'd like to thank the Republic of Cyprus and the various sponsors of this event. And I'd like to also introduce this highly distinguished panel. Andreas Hagiannis is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Cyprus Sea Lines and Hellenic Tankers, and notably, he's the president of the Cyprus Union of Ship Owners. Andreas Hagipetro is the chief commercial officer of Columbia Group and the managing director of Columbia Ship Management. And Polis Hagiannou is the CEO and chairman and founder of Safe Bulkers and the vice president also of the Cyprus Union of Ship Owners. Maybe I'll start with Polis at the end there. Can you tell us about your decision a few years ago to establish an office in Cyprus and what the experience has been like for your company?
Thank you, Richard. Welcome everyone to New York for this conference. In 2015, as you know, we had many problems in Greece regarding the state of the Greek economy, and the investors in our company also were worried how we would run our business. We should have a plan B office, open a second office somewhere else, because we were operating only from Greece at the moment. So we thought, like many other Greek owners, especially the listed ones, to open a plan B office in Cyprus. Indeed, we went down in February 2015. We rented our office. But at that point, I never had the intention to relocate there personally and run my business from Cyprus. So going there to choose the office, initially we moved 10 employees from the Greek office to Cyprus, and we moved the management of 5 vessels to the island. Then as we were heading into the summer, we had the threat of the referendum of going outside of Eurozone for Greece. And we were on a trip in the States with my family, like I am on this week with all my children. And we were in New York, then we moved to the West Coast, to LA, to San Francisco, spending our summer, let's say, 1 or 10 days holiday. And during that time, everyone was telling me, stay there, don't come back. You don't need to come back. We want to see what will happen. And we took the decision. We took the decision on 4th of July during the U.S. Independence Day. We gathered with the children that things maybe is needed for us to relocate in Cyprus ourselves. And with the support of the family and all my children, we made the decision to go down there. But again, I had the question marks, if we would like the lifestyle or not, if we will stay, if we will expand the business there. And when we moved in September of 2015, we start becoming positively surprised, because Cyprus was after the bail-in, 2 years after the bail-in. So the people there, they were working very hard to reestablish Cyprus on the European map and on the world map. And anything we asked at that point from the government, I mean, if we could operate a shipping business from Cyprus, and we have a legal framework and the tonnage tax scheme that will be long-term, and we would feel confident that we could run our business there. Anything we asked, we had The government has responded in a positive way, and this encouraged me after 1 year to move the headquarters of St. Balkes down to Cyprus. It's a decision I never regretted, and we are expanding our business there. We bought an office building in 2017. Right now we have bought a second office building next to it, because we intend in the following years to expand our business further on the island. And for me, it's only one way we see in the future. Also, my family will be spending a lot of time in Cyprus, and will try to develop the ship-owning tradition, the Greek ship-owning tradition on the island itself. It is very good for Greek ship-owners to have alternatives for the future. We have a big office in Greece as well. We can do benchmarking between Greece and Cyprus. We can run our business more efficiently with both countries. And I think both countries are offering today a bright prospect for shipping business.
So this panel, I guess I misspoke when I said this was a ship owners panel. This is a panel that includes a ship manager, a publicly traded ship owning company, and a private ship owning company. This is a question for Andreas Hadjipetru. As Deputy Minister Hadjimanolis said, there are 250 companies in Cyprus providing all sorts of services to the shipping industry. Yours may be one of the best known in the world. Can you tell us about Colombia's history in Cyprus and its experience in Cyprus?
Thank you, Richard, for the question. I'm delighted to be here. I think after a few years, it's amazing to have another Capital Link event specialized for Cyprus, and I'm glad that this year the attendance is much, much better than before, and I think this is a credential of Nicolas Bornozis, Olga, and everybody involved, and thank you primarily to the sponsors and the CUS for making this possible. Richard, I will continue forward from where Mr. Hajuan said about Plan B. For Colombia, Cyprus has been the Plan A from day one. When a German captain came to Cyprus some 50 years ago, and he fell in love with the island, with the hospitality of the people, with the colleagues of the people, with the weather, with the proximity to other countries, and he has made this his home. And through continuous development of the industry, we have reached a point today that Cyprus is, our office in Cyprus is the head office of our company, whereby we manage all the subsidiaries along the world from Cyprus, whereby we are involved in ship management. There is a huge expertise on the island on ship management. We are number three in Europe on ship management. We are out of Cyprus. We manage 20% of the ships that are managed under ship management. They are managed out of Cyprus. So this is a very huge percentage. And globally, 4% of the ships managed are also out of Cyprus. The history of Colombia, we have grown from a crew manager at the beginning, technical manager, and we have involved ourselves into what we call an integrated maritime service platform provider with significant investments in technological companies, crew manning agencies around the world, about 25 own manning agencies, with companies involved in the supply chain, with a lot of service companies servicing the entire shipping industry. In general, Cyprus has been a home of that welcomes a lot of foreign investments and foreign companies as well. In the shipping industry today, we have, as an example, MSC, with 700 ships managed out of Cyprus. So the entire fleet of MSC is managed out of Cyprus, and pretty much all our main competitors are also operating out of Cyprus. This for us is not a weakness, this is a strength, because we have a very strong links with the government, we have a very strong link with the entire shipping community, and we make things happen. We are also able to influence legislations worldwide through participations in various shipping bodies and organizations around the world. And I can safely recommend to anybody looking for a place for ship management and shipping related services that they can with confidence consider Cyprus as a center.
I'll ask Andreas Hagianis a question about his experience in Cyprus. Maybe as the it's widely known and understood that the shipping industry is a very, very competitive industry, right? And participants in that industry are not always collaborative with one another. Is the Cyprus shipping community different in that respect? And can you speak to your observations in that regard as the president of the Cyprus Union of Ship Owners?
Yes, thank you. That's a very interesting question. It is indeed a very difficult field for ship owners. By nature, they are not unionized. They don't like being unionized. Everyone is an individual entity. All that except Cyprus. We are very close friends. And closer than that, I may say. Cyprus is unique. And it's very different to almost every other shipping center. And as much as, and I didn't hear it today, I'm surprised. Cyprus has a very deep maritime roots that goes back to millenniums of years. That makes Cyprus a unique shipping center. The people, the workforce, understand both the sea and the ships. You don't see this everywhere else. Cyprus is also a home. You don't feel foreigner in Cyprus. From wherever you come, from Europe, America, India, from wherever, all over the world. It's not just an international place, a cosmopolitan place, a clean and safe and secure place. It's a home. You never feel a foreigner. What was the other things you asked?
Well, I guess you were going to maybe speak to the collaborative nature of the community, and then maybe you could tell us a little bit about the union and its role in that community, what it does. Some of its engagements with public sector, private sector.
No, you remind me now. Yeah, because the ship owners do not unionize, we have a big gap, especially in the European Union. The last couple of decades, we are faced with a new generation of politicians in the European Union, where they see shipping as a small industry. They see it as a contribution to the Europe's GDP, which is very small. And they forget all about the geopolitics and the importance to the rest of the industries, to the community. The world after the Second World War has developed into a very globalized place where shipping and supply chain is the most important factor of life today. Anything you see around you, anything you need to live on, is come to you either as a finished product or as a raw material on a ship. So if that shipping today is controlled by someone, then you are a hostage. Whoever managed to control shipping, he controls the world. And these days when we talk and criticize the American government, We forgot this very thing. We forgot that shipping is threatened to be monopolized by a single country that is a central control economy too. So it's a very, very dangerous situation we're coming into. And although we've been advocating this for 10 years in the European Union, they wouldn't care. They would tell us, you know, less than 1% of the GDP. So, and all they were interested in was taxing through levies on shipping with the excuse of the green economy, of the green transition, which although important, shipping only accounts for 2%, and you talk about trillions and trillions of dollars of investment to decarbonize shipping, while you are not going to save the environment through shipping. If you get it done, the environment will improve by 1%, and you will lose shipping. So we see this in Cyprus, let's say Cyprus Union of Shipping, yes, as a mission for the society to tell the Europeans to come down from the earth, wherever they are sitting on the top of the world, and realize that if we lose shipping, then we are living in a different world. And that, okay, it's fine, we all need to preserve the climate, but that's not a reason to kill shipping. It's far more important. And it's not such a contributing factor to the climate change. I don't know if I covered you.
That's great. It was terrific. Thank you. So, Polis, you've over several years have worked with the Cyprus Ship Registry and have made efforts to promote the flag internationally. As a ship owner who's interacted with the ministry and with the flag, can you tell us about your experience with the flag and about your how you've been able to work with the ministry regarding the flagging matters?
Yes, traditionally the Hadjianou family supporting Cyprus flag. Myself, with the exception of two ships that I bought in 2008 at the high price, and I had to fix for 10 and 20 year charters, where the charterers had to impose to me that they wanted a non-Cyprus flag, which I accepted at the time. I it was a deal breaker. I couldn't refuse. We run today in St. Balkis 47 vessels, 45 fly Cyprus flag. And on the private fleet, another, between me and my brother, another 20 vessels, 18 run the Cyprus flag. So from our side, we are committed because we see that we have a modern registry. 24/7, if you need a problem, if you have a problem, you will get supported. You will get the answer quickly. Of course, it has to be within context, and we have a shipping ministry, a deputy shipping ministry, and the minister who is there to assist whenever something is needed. The fees are very low, very competitive. We highly recommend it for all the Greek shipping community and other ship owners around the world to fly the Cyprus flag on their ships. Also, from my point, I do it because I believe that the ship registry is giving international status to the Republic of Cyprus. You have the ships that they go in all the ports of the world, in all countries, were financed by all the major banks, by financial institutions. We have raised finance in the past by Expo Credit Finance from Japan, which is we are the only Greek and Cyprus company to have achieved that in the last 30 years. Expo Credit Finance from Japanese government. paying margins that the Japanese shipowners pay below 0.5% for 80% financing. No one ever disputed or asked us to change the flag of the ship. They were feeling comfortable with the legal system of Cyprus, with the mortgage on the Cyprus ships, and this makes us very confident that, very happy to use the registry. Also, I wanted to say about this conference shows you today the belief of Cyprus businessmen and of Cyprus government by coming here to New York to promote Cyprus as a base for a business. The president himself will deliver a keynote speech at lunchtime upstairs. All the major banks of Cyprus are here, Bank of Cyprus, with their CEOs, Hellenic Bank, Alpha Bank, Bank of Piraeus from Greece, with Christos Megalou, which we thank him for his attendance. I was expecting the big four to be here, only one. There is only big one here. The other three will come on the next event. They wanted to see the outcome. We say, can you guarantee us that the investors will be there? I say, guys, you never know when the investors are coming and when they are not coming. Of course, we came, we chose a difficult week. We never knew that on the 2nd of April would be the announcement of the tariffs against the rest of the world by America. Irrespective, if we believe this will be short-lived or medium-lived. But the essence is, as a country, we need to be there. We need to be here. America is the center of the world. Cyprus must become known. I admire Greece because for 27 years they've been doing this Investors Day in New York under Nick Bornozis. And the Prime Minister attends many times. 7-8 ministers come along. They run forums parallel, in parallel rooms, one-to-one meetings with investors. It took them many years to reach this level. They didn't reach it overnight. I mean, there were times that Greece was going downhill with the IMF rescue packages, with very difficult times, with capital controls. They never gave up. They kept coming every year. And I believe the same has to be done by us. We're a small country. We need everyone to be supportive on things like that. I know we feel that Cyprus is far away from the States. A long trip is a tiring trip, a lot of expenses, expensive hotels, all these things, but it's worth it, believe me. I never thought my company would ever become public in 2008 when we became public. It was not in my plans. I realized that the market at that time that the market was sky high, that we had to do something and get some money off the table. That was the only reason we became public. I have here Peter Georgopoulos, who was a market guru at the time. He was doing many deals, and we were reading the press to see what Peter was doing to try and follow. My experience is that if you have the presence here, if you come regularly, if you see people, the opportunity will come because it's USA. Today, people say that stock market collapsed yesterday 7-8%. Today, just now I opened my mobile, I saw another 5% today. For me, I laugh because this is an opportunity to get in and make easy money. Of course, you will lose some money for a few weeks. You will be losing some money because the rest of the world is trying to cope with it. But when there is a volatility, we all make money. So a shipping company operating from the U.S. and Cyprus, you get the best possible momentum to achieve your scopes by, of course, by respecting the rules and being honest with the investors and take a long-term approach. I will give you some details of our company. When we listed, we had 11 vessels in the company, and today we own 46 vessels and 7 new buildings that will be delivered in the next 2 years. So 11 has become 53. We raised a total of $570 million of equity from investors. We have delivered profits of $1.3 billion net in these 17 years that we are listed, and we have paid dividends to the shareholders of $310 million, and we still own 50% of the company. So with hard work but being persistent, you can achieve the results. And this is what I want also for Cyprus to achieve over the years. You know, I'm not a politician, I'm a businessman, but by raising the opportunity for our fellow countrymen, we all can achieve something big for our country. We're a small nation. Half of it is occupied by Turkey with Turkish army. We don't need Turkey in Cyprus. Turkish armies in Cyprus. We want to live with the Turkish Cypriots and the Greek Cypriots. We have another 200,000 foreigners living in Cyprus. With all these wars, we have the Russians, we have Ukrainians, we have Israelis. It's a country that can accept anyone, and everyone can prosper in Cyprus. And we all have to be persistent, and thank God we have a president that understands all this. He's touring the USA this week to promote Cyprus in New York, in Houston, in San Francisco. And I think, don't expect results in 1 year. It's the next 5-10 years. We are building now. You have to build to achieve. We have to be consistent. And thanks also Invest Cyprus for their cooperation and their backing of this event. And I wish, you know, in the following years that this could become an annual event and increase it every year and build on it.
May I suggest a round of applause for Mr. Hrjanov?
We have 6 minutes left, but I almost wanted to stop right there. I won't. I'm gonna continue. Maybe what I'll do is I'll relate back to an earlier panel. There was a panel, an energy panel industry this morning, and the energy minister is here. There was discussion about the incredible opportunity that's presented by the recent discoveries and commercialization and extraction of energy in the waters around Cyprus. That can be a really great thing for a country, but it also can put, you know, pressures on a country. And I guess this is for Andreas Hadjipetrou. I mean, as one of the largest employers in Cyprus, you know, tell us about the human capital available to your business for this very significant ship management business. And do you have any concerns that the growth of the energy industry in Cyprus could be competitive from a human resources perspective to the shipping industry?
Well, I mean, I see the deputy shipping minister and the minister of energy. My vote is definitely on with the shipping minister. That's no question about it. The issue is that, yes, we will have new industries coming to the island. We welcome investments in technology, in energy sectors, absolutely. But shipping has been a sustainable business for the island. We have been as a company 50 years on the island. There's a huge expertise, and it was what was mentioned earlier, that is, percentage-wise, the educated people on the island are, we have the highest percentage in Europe, perhaps in the world. So we are very keen for other industries to grow, absolutely. And at the same time, I need to say that there is a very attractive package scheme in terms of taxation for any foreigners coming to the island. So if anybody is earning more than 55,000 euro over when they first come to Cyprus, they are entitled, I believe, to 15 or 17 years, 50% tax reduction. So so the inflow of expertise is, to some extent, unlimited in what we can achieve as a country.
Great. Thank you. Well, look, we'll close with maybe I'll give let's create an opportunity for everyone in the audience to get to know you all a little bit better. You can answer one of the following two questions. One is, tell us one thing that you really like about your job. The other is, Don't tell us anything about your job. Tell us one thing that you really love that has nothing to do with your job about living in Cyprus.
Was living in Cyprus as a ship owner or living in Cyprus doing something else?
With anything.
Well, the good thing about shipping is that you just live life as an ordinary person. You follow, I don't know about you, but especially the last few days, the first thing I do when I wake up, I go on the news to see what happened since I went to sleep. And you repeat that every hour. And this is part of your business too. It's not a profession, a specific profession. It's how the world is developed every day, every month, every year. And I think I find this very amazing. And it involves a lot of traveling around the world. And you meet people, you need cultures, you need to sense what is coming to you, what is coming to the world. And that, I think to me that's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
When I joined the company some nearly 30 years ago, during that week we had an Austrian gentleman retiring. So I went over to him and I said, congratulations on your retirement. What are you planning to do? He replied to me, he said, Andreas, I've been working on a holiday island for the last 20 years. What do you think I'm going to do now? I'm going to enjoy life on this holiday island. So this is Cyprus. So I'm enjoying living on a holiday island and having the international exposure and sharing of knowledge and expertise with the world.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Well, Cyprus is promising 300 days of sunshine in the official brochures. Being there the last 10 years, I can tell you it's more than 300 per year.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, we need some rain, yes. And yeah, we need rain from the U.S. to come to Cyprus. And it's a safe place to live and to grow up a family, and the people are so friendly. It's not that I'm Cypriot. You know, I love Greece as well, you know, and I go there for holidays in the summer and Christmas and Easter. But it's a great place to work. Nobody is annoying you. I mean, you know what is the framework, the legal framework, what you can do, what you cannot do. And I think this gives you the peace of mind to concentrate on your business. Our business is volatile enough. We don't need the legal framework to be volatile from where we operate, and this we enjoy in Cyprus.
Great. Well, thank you to our panelists, and get you guys out.
because I received the challenge from this Andreas that he's inclined towards the Deputy Minister of Shipping and he ignored the Minister of Energy.
I didn't say no.
I will ask Richard to tell him that without energy he's going nowhere. Unless he has sails with wind. All right?
We're going back to those early technologies.
Yes.
What about the rowing?
The rowing, yes. Yeah. That's very true. So have that in mind. No energy, you are going nowhere.
We love energy. Drill, baby, drill.
Thank you.
Before we go, let's look at the video for a moment.
The world has always been in a constant state of flux. Throughout history, humanity's ability to embrace change has defined our evolution. Cyprus Shipping has been responding to global challenges and opportunities with swift adaptability and flexibility. Thank you. For 60 years, since the foundation of the Cyprus Register of Ships, the Cypriot flag has developed into an emblem of stability, opportunity, and expansion, leading the way among the most powerful shipping nations. With bold initiatives aimed at fostering change, Cyprus and the global shipping industry can forge an even more robust maritime infrastructure. Change for resilience, implementing simplified procedures and delivering impeccable service. Change for safety, cultivating a skilled and inclusive workforce, supporting gender equality and diversity. Change for sustainability, embracing energy transition and green technologies. Change for digital transformation, advancing automation and digitalization. In our currently uncertain and fast-changing times, navigating change is navigating life itself. Shipping has the power to move forward and take charge, creating a legacy for change, shaping a brighter future for all.
Thank you very much. And now, those of you who are joining us for lunch on the third floor, please, we have to be expeditious because we are at the strict deadline. We have to go down to the stock exchange later on to ring the bell. Thank you for a terrific panel.